In his new book, Command and Control, Nuclear Weapons, the Damascus Accident and the Illusion of Safety, famed investigative journalist Eric Schlosser explores the dilemma that has existed since the dawn of the nuclear age. How do you deploy weapons of mass destruction without being destroyed by them? As he makes chillingly clear in his researched and eye-opening exploration of America's nuclear weapons, that most important of questions has never really been resolved. Drawing on recently declassified documents and in-depth interviews with the individuals who designed and routinely handle nuclear weapons, Command and Control takes readers into a terrifying but fascinating world that until now has been largely hidden from view. Through the details of a single accident, Schlosser illustrates how small risks can have terrible consequences. Eric Schlosser is the author of the New York Times bestsellers Fast Food Nation and Reefer Madness, and it's a great pleasure to welcome him to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
It is, I guess, you know, as I'm reading the introduction and I'm thinking about this, obviously, this is an issue is sort of at the baseline of all of the trouble and all of the problems that we are currently dealing with, right?
I think this is the most important national security issue that we face, the threat of nuclear weapons. And yet it's one that really hasn't received much attention in the last 20, 25 years. When the Cold War ended, there was the sense that when it ended, so did the danger and the risk posed by nuclear weapons. And that's just not the case. So the book is, you know, it's the story of one weapons accident, but it's also the story of how close we've come again and again to having detonations on American soil with our own nuclear weapons. And it's about the grave threat that these machines still pose to us.
Do you believe as we speak today that we are, if not in, very close to another Cold War?
I am very concerned, extremely concerned, that we are heading into another Cold War. And this would be a very dangerous Cold War. I think that Vladimir Putin's behavior has been increasingly irrational. I say that because I think that he's jeopardizing the future of his own country. And you know, we were lucky, and this is one of the themes of my book, we were lucky to get out of the last Cold War without the use of nuclear weapons. And we don't want to have another Cold War that brings that sort of risk again. I'm concerned.
This book looks at America's nuclear weapons, and you paint this picture that this is a program that has been plagued by accidents and mistakes and near misses since the very inception, and even the best control systems are certainly no match for human error. You write about this Damascus accident, and what is fascinating is with what detail you write about that incident, that really is an accident that very few of us even know about.
Yeah. Well, there was publicity about this accident in 1980 when it occurred, but there wasn't very much attention ultimately paid to it because the government was adamant that there was no possibility that a nuclear weapon could have detonated during this accident. And I did research and found simply that that was a lie. There was an accident in Damascus that involved the most powerful nuclear warhead we ever built, put on the largest missile we ever built. A workman dropped a tool, pierced the skin of the missile, caused a fuel leak, and suddenly highly explosive rocket fuel was filling a silo with an intercontinental ballistic missile in it, and on top of that missile was a warhead three times more powerful than all the bombs used by all the armies in the Second World War combined. And we didn't hear about it in extensive detail because, as I said, the Pentagon claimed there was never any chance the warhead could have detonated, but documents that have been released since the end of the Cold War say that's not true. There were safety issues with that particular warhead as well as with any other of the nuclear weapons in the American arsenal.
The accident took place in Damascus, Arkansas, and in the book, you look at this incident and ultimately take us through the details of that accident, and through that illustrate that ultimately how these small risks can have terrible consequences, and how even though we have brilliant minds dealing with all of this, and as you say in the subtitle of the book, create this illusion of control, but ultimately we don't have that control. And I guess the ultimate question is, can we ever have control over these weapons?
You know, I tried very hard to write the book without demonizing anyone. This isn't about bad guys and warmongers. You know, my research found a lot of very well-intended, patriotic people trying to defend the United States the way that they knew best. Ultimately, the problem is human beings. We are fallible. So it's inconceivable that we could ever make any machine or technological system that's going to be infallible. Machines break down. Every one of us, just about, who owns an automobile has had that car break down at some point. Airliners fall from the sky. We still don't know what happened to the Malaysian airliner. But when you're talking about nuclear weapons and nuclear weapons systems, when one of those goes wrong, it's not one person, two people, hundreds of people that could potentially be killed. It's tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, even millions of people who might die. So again and again, you know, I found in telling this story, really from the dawn of the atomic era to the present day, you have people desperately trying to maintain control over these weapons. And there's always this sense that the system and the weapons are on the verge of slipping out of their control. It's so complex. And a lot of the book is about technology. And another theme is that we seem to be much better at creating these complex technologies than we are at controlling them or knowing what to do with them when something goes wrong. And a modern, much more recent example of that would be Fukushima, where, you know, they had no idea what was happening as the accident was unfolding. And we still aren't entirely sure, years later, what's going on in those reactors and waste storage facilities at Fukushima, because they're too radioactive and dangerous for even us to get robots into them. So we need a little bit of humility when it comes to these machines. Nuclear weapons are the most dangerous machines ever invented.
When we talk about nuclear weapons, are we also talking about nuclear power in the sense of that these power plants that we have throughout our country can also act in some way as a weapon against us?
Yeah. Well, my book is about nuclear weapons, but there's a brilliant sociologist named Charles Perrow who came up with normal accident theory. And his normal accident theories were based on his investigation of the Three Mile Island nuclear power accident. And he looked at how complex technological systems can go wrong. And when they go wrong, firstly, it's not an accident. It's normal. It's something to be expected when they get that complicated. And also how dangerous they are when there are parts of the system that are interconnected and hard to separate. That sounds very complicated, but I'll give you a simple example. If you have an assembly line at a factory, that's a linear system. And what that means is if you have a problem on the assembly line, you shut down the assembly line, it stops, you repair it, and you don't turn it back on again until everything's fixed. When you have a complex, interactive technological system, there are many things happening at once, and you might shut down one of them, but the others are going to continue, and you may not be able to stop them. You may not even understand what's happening with them. Now, that was true in Three Mile Island. That was true at Chernobyl. At Chernobyl, the accident was begun when they turned off the safety systems at the Chernobyl reactor as part of a safety drill. No one would ever expect a meltdown, well, probably the worst nuclear reactor accident in history, occurred because of a safety drill. And in looking at these nuclear weapons accidents, relatively trivial things. You know, in the Damascus accident, someone dropped a socket. There's another accident I read about where a technician was changing a fuse in the burglar alarm at a missile complex and created a short circuit that launched the warhead off the missile. So all these things are very complicated, and our ability to understand what's happening, unfortunately, is inadequate to the complexity and the danger of these systems.
So as you write about the efforts by American scientists and policymakers and military offices to ensure that nuclear weapons cannot be stolen or sabotaged or used without permission, all of this presumably is going on in other areas of the world where nuclear weapons are present.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm very critical of America's management of its nuclear arsenal, but I'll be patriotic for a second. We invented this technology. I have no doubt that we've perfected it and that we build among the safest nuclear weapons in the world. And yet, if we've come this close repeatedly to catastrophe, I'll think about other countries who are less technologically advanced, India, Pakistan, even Russia, which has a terrible history of industrial accidents. And I wasn't able to write about the nuclear weapon systems in those countries because there's such intense secrecy. I had problems getting documents through the Freedom of Information Act, and a lot of those documents were redacted and censored and blacked out. But still, to the credit of the United States, we have more openness on these issues and about nuclear weapons than any other country in the world. So it gives you pause to think, if we've come this close, think about what is going to happen as more and more countries, if more and more countries get nuclear weapons. Accidents happen. And we're lucky that no city has been destroyed by a nuclear weapon in almost 70 years.
So shouldn't we take faith in that? That no city has been destroyed in the 70 years? And if we have come so close, give us a scenario where you think what could, God forbid, take us over that brink.
Yeah. Well, we should be delighted and overjoyed that no city has been destroyed by a nuclear weapon since Nagasaki. But if you read my book, you can see how close it's come on numerous occasions to one of these weapons detonating and killing tens of thousands of people. So because something hasn't happened in almost 70 years doesn't mean for any reason it won't happen tomorrow. And unfortunately, the laws of probability are such that the more weapons you have and the longer you go without one going off by accident, maybe it becomes more likely each day that that's going to happen. Now, I don't think we're doomed. I'm not apocalyptic. I don't lie awake at night afraid a nuclear weapon's going to go off. But I'm concerned. I'm very concerned. And the most likely place for something to go wrong right now is probably India, Pakistan. These are two countries that despise one another, that are nuclear armed, very short distance between the two of them. And especially in Pakistan, you have extremist groups that would like to get hold of a nuclear weapon. And these extremist groups celebrate often the killing of civilians and probably wouldn't hesitate to use one of these weapons against civilians if they could get one. But back to the United States, we really don't want another Cold War with Russia. We today have a nuclear arsenal that's aging. Our weapons, our missiles are getting old. Our bombers are getting old. The communication systems, the computers that connect them are getting old. And if we were to have a crisis with Russia and go on to a heightened state of nuclear alert, things can go wrong. And again, my book is full of examples of when things went wrong during nuclear alerts. So we need to greatly reduce the number of nuclear weapons in the world. We need to prevent other countries from obtaining them. And we need to lock down the fissile material, the bomb-grade uranium and plutonium, so that terrorists can't get hold of it and make a weapon. And I think there are steps that can be taken, but it's very important for the public to be aware of these dangers and for the public to get involved in this national debate. it just couldn't be a more important issue.
As you say, the steps can be taken, but ultimately it comes down to humans and fallibility. So what steps do you take that ultimately takes care of that problem?
As long as nuclear weapons exist in the world fully assembled, there's going to be a danger that one of them will detonate by accident or one of them will be taken and used deliberately. So the only way to be perfectly safe from nuclear weapons is to abolish them and eliminate all of them, or have none of them in the world fully assembled and ready to use. Now, one step that could be taken would be for the missile forces of the United States and Russia to go off of full alert, meaning being put in a position so they aren't ready to be used within 5-10 minutes. The fact that they are ready to go just about right now increases the possibility that an accident or mistake could launch a missile. And if one of these things is headed towards Russia, you know, we're going to have to really reassure Russia that it was an accident and a mistake and not the beginning of a nuclear war. So I personally support the abolition of nuclear weapons, like President Reagan did, like President Obama does. And I hope that happens someday. But until that day comes, we need to reduce the number, reduce the readiness, and prevent other people from getting their hands on these weapons. So the risk is not going to be zero for quite a while, but there are lots of things that we can do to bring the risk lower and lower.
So you talk of that concern and the fact that we should be scared. We should be concerned. Is on the other hand, is there any room for optimism? And if so, where does that optimism come in?
Yeah, I don't think that we should be terrified or paralyzed by fear, but I think we should be concerned, seriously concerned. And there's much, much ground for optimism. When I was growing up in the Cold War, if you had said, one day the Berlin Wall will come down and the Soviet Union will collapse and Eastern Europe will be free, and that will happen without a Third World War, without hundreds of thousands or millions of people being killed, people would have said, you're out of your mind. There's no way that's ever going to happen. And it happened. So good things can occur in the world, but they don't just happen. People need to make them happen. So I think we can greatly, greatly reduce the risks that nuclear weapons pose to us right now, but we need to be aware of the risk. We need to take action to do something about it. And that's where my optimism comes from. If I were pessimistic, I never would have bothered spending 6 years on this book. I wrote this book because I felt this problem doesn't have to be as great as it is today.
The name of the book is Command and Control Nuclear Weapons, The Damascus Accident and the Illusion of Safety. It is published by Penguin. Eric Schlosser, a great pleasure to have you back on the program. Thank you very much for sharing your expertise with us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Again, the title of the book is Command and Control Nuclear Weapons, The Damascus Accident and the Illusion of Safety. It is published by Penguin. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.